The verse we're unpacking, first of all, thank you. The verse we're unpacking this morning, come on, is verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let's pray together. Father, please, we ask that you would bring understanding to us and understanding in a way that we would live out and pray this prayer and what you are saying with this portion of this prayer. Please, Father, we need your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to this truth. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So at first read, this verse should stun us a bit. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Something sounds wrong in that, doesn't it? The phrase, lead us not into, in Greek, can also be read as, don't bring us past the entrance and into. So the sentence reads, Lord, don't bring us inside a situation where we are enticed to sin. I say enticed to sin because that is what the word temptation means. It means enticed, baited, seduced into sinning. But the Greek word translated as temptation can also be translated as test. So which is it, test or temptation? Let's start by looking at the difference between the two. Both are usually difficult situations. Tests or trials are used by God. They are meant to prove a person's character or improve it. God wants our trust to be in Him and in Him alone. And to make sure of this and to grow this trust in Him, He puts our faith to the test. One scholar said, God places a person in a situation in which he may fall, but in which he is not meant to fall. In a situation which may be his ruin, but out of which he is meant to emerge spiritually strengthened and enriched. So tests are tough situations requiring trust in God. And in them, we are to exercise that trust, our faith, finding Him always faithful and trustable, and having our trust in Him grow, which is deepening our relationship with our Heavenly Father. God's testing is like the refining of gold. Not that I know anything about refining, but what I understand is if you find a piece of ore, and it is processed, they process it to reveal if it is gold. And if it is gold, then they refine it so that it becomes pure gold, burning off that which is not gold. God uses tests to reveal our faith in Him and then to refine it into purer faith. All God's children go through tests and trials because He wants our faith and relationship with Him to grow. And the truth of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, can be applied to all tests. And here it is. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. The tests are allowed by the sovereign God, and they work for our good. They might not be good situations. They might not feel good, but they are used by the Lord for our good. So God uses and brings about tests and trials to grow our character, to grow our faith, to grow our dependence on Him, to grow our relationship with Him. But God does not tempt people to sin. Temptations are difficult moments where we, again, are enticed to sin. We're baited and encouraged to abandon trust in God and go the route of sinning, seduced with the promise that sin is better than trusting in God. James 1 verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God is holy. God is good. He does not tempt people to sin. He would never tempt his children to sin. His children have been set free from slavery to sin by Jesus dying on the cross. He would never now go and use sin trying to trip up those he saved by Jesus' precious blood. He hates sin. Tempting people to sin is not in the realm of possibility. The devil is the tempter. The temptation to sin comes from him, or it comes from our sinful nature, as James 1, verse 14 to 15 tells us. God uses tests and trials to grow his children's faith and trust in him, but he does not and cannot tempt us to sin. So that's the difference between tests and temptations. Now in this verse, which is it, tests or temptations? And I think it is a bit of both. But let me explain what I mean, because I don't want you to think that I'm going back on the truth that God does not tempt people. I'm not saying God tempts people to sin. Here's what I mean by both are in there. When we are tested and go through trials, being refined and growing our faith in the Lord, the devil is right there tempting us to sin pretty well every time. He's trying to draw us away from trusting in the Lord and to go for sin. He works to turn tests into temptations in his sneaky, subtle ways to steal, kill, and destroy our character and our faith, and so that we are not built up, so that our relationship with God is harmed. We see this over and over again in the Bible. Adam and Eve were tested by God with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3. They were to trust the Lord to know what was good and what was evil. Trust the goodness of the holy God. But Satan came along and turned the test into a temptation to sin, questioning God, portraying God as holding back goodness from Adam and Eve, and promising them that they would know for themselves what was good and what was evil, and that would be better. He took this test and he turned it into a temptation to sin. Jesus, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tested, as recorded in Luke chapter 4. And Satan came in with his temptations to sin, questioning God's goodness, questioning God's love and his care for Jesus, and trying to get Jesus to take care of things on his own. Of course, Jesus didn't fall for it, but the devil got in there, turning a test into a temptation. In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was arrested and the fake trial started and his beatings started, Peter was confronted by people as being someone associated with Jesus Christ. The test was, will he stand for Jesus? Will he be identified for the Lord? And Satan comes along with the temptation of denial and the promise that personal safety is better than being beaten for Jesus. Test turned into a temptation. One more. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. The test. Will they sell some of their property and give it to the needy? Well, they sell it. And then Satan comes right in there saying, keep some money for yourself, but claim that you gave the whole amount to the needy. A test turned into a temptation. The devil is right there tempting us to abandon trust in God and embrace sin. The devil is the tempter, not God. God allows the devil to come with the tempting, but God never tempts us to sin. So Satan works to turn tests into temptations, and that's why I say both meanings, test and temptation, of that Greek word, shed understanding on this prayer. But still, how do we make sense of this verse? How do we make sense of it? God doesn't lead anyone into temptation, so why pray, God, don't lead us into temptation? That doesn't make any sense. Plus, Testings are good for us because, as James 1, verse 2 to 3 tells us, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So testings are used by God for our good, to make us complete, to make us more Christ-like. So why would we pray, God, don't lead us into testing? Do you get that? Why would we pray, God, don't lead us into temptation, when God doesn't tempt us with sin? So then why would we pray, God, don't lead us into testing, when testing is good for us? So bringing the second half of the verse into this, of course, is critical. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Greek, with all its grammar rules, the sentence reads, deliver us, deliver meaning draw us to yourself, rescue us, deliver us from the evil one, the translation that Glenn read. Not from evil in general, but from the evil one, the devil. Lord, rescue us from the devil. Now, because this is about the devil, translators chose the word temptation instead of trials or tests. It seemed to fit better. But many scholars believe that with this Greek word, which can be translated temptation or test, that we should remember both meanings and understand that Jesus is directing us to pray that when God leads us into a test, that we would not fall for the devil's temptations. We are to pray that God would not lead us into a test where the devil presents a temptation we would be unable to resist. One scholar expounds the prayer this way, which is helpful. He said, "Our Father, we cannot stand up under very much pressure. We are not wise enough to recognize and then counter the work of the evil one. When you lead us to the test, do not let the test become a temptation, but rescue us. Rescue us from the subtle strategies of the evil one and help us trust you." It is praying the promise, that wonderful promise of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This is what it says. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So in the testing, when a temptation comes from the devil through the world or through our flesh, God will give us what is necessary to persevere the temptation, to not give in, and provide a way of escaping the temptation. That's what 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says. So the Lord's prayer here is really asking the Lord to help us be obedient and faithful to him, trusting in him and not sinning when he brings the testing and the devil comes tempting us in those times of testing. This means that accompanying this request must be a recognition that we cannot stand against temptations on our own. We can't. And we dare not trust ourselves. We are weak, we are vulnerable, and Satan exploits our strong points and he exploits our weak points. We are not self-sufficient against temptations. Martin Luther, the Martin Luther from the 1500s, said, "We cannot help being exposed to the assaults, but we pray that we may not fall under them." The attacks from the devil with his attractive temptations and promises, they will come to every single one of us. And we are praying, "Lord, help us not fall." And help comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and God's word. James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you." Submitting to God is submitting to his truth, which is his word. Psalm 119, 11, "I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." So we resist the devil by submitting to God. There is no tactic or formula or phrase to say. We resist the devil by submitting to God through his word, focusing on God, believing God's truth, God's promises, having God's truth on our mind, praying to God according to his word, submitting and focused on God's word. That is resisting the devil. We all live in this evil world, and we are all being bombarded by evil, by temptations, all the time. We have three enemies: the devil, the world, and our flesh. And the devil comes up with these great ideas that the world promotes and that our flesh is attracted to. And he's trying to get us to sin, and he's trying to trap us in a stronghold. And remember what a stronghold is. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. A stronghold is an ideology, a way of thinking that is according to the world. It's the world's perspective on life and adopting the world view of what the world offers, what the devil offers, and living that way. That's a stronghold. That's an ideology that we get stuck and trapped in. It's against God's holy word. The devil is trying to get us locked into those, trying to steal, kill, and destroy what God loves. And that's us. That's us. And praise God that the Holy Spirit does his sanctifying work of refining us in trials and tests. But the devil is right there with his temptations to sin. And you can probably recognize this in your life. A situation arises, and you notice that you're going to have to trust God in this situation to get you through this situation. You see it coming up and you're like, oh man, I got to trust in the Lord for this. This is going to be hard. And you also notice along come these other options. Options that seem just a little bit off, not too much, but pretty easy to justify. Yet those options are not about putting your faith and trust in God. They question God's goodness. They are about different promises than what God gives to us. And they are about going a direction that does not line up with the Word of God. And that's because they are temptations to sin that are brought ultimately by the devil into a situation that God brought about to refine our trust in him and deepen our relationship with him. Of course, God can and does use that situation, which now has the devil's temptations in it. He uses that in the trial, the test, and rescuing us from the devil. But the temptation didn't come from God. It came from the devil. And with this portion of the Lord's Prayer, we confess how weak we are, how our flesh is weak to temptations of the world and the devil, and that we desperately need, the Lord to keep us and rescue us. We need his protection. We need his rescue so that we would not fall for sin, so that we would not falter in our confidence in the Savior. Many Christians throughout history have been tested and tempted terribly, but have not fallen because they have hung on to God and his promises found in his word. Polycarp, he's a bishop from Smyrna in 156 AD, when he was taken into custody by the Romans, he was told, renounce Jesus Christ or be killed. This was his reply. 86 years I have served him, and he never once wronged me. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? He was killed a few moments after saying these words. In the time of the Reformation, on October 16th, 1555, Bishops Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were burned at the stake by Queen Mary, or Bloody Mary as she's known. And their crime? Teaching justification by faith alone. They were told not to, but they did. And Latimer called out when the fire was lit. He called out, be of good cheer, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle in England by God's grace, as I trust shall never be put out. Amazing, amazing. A couple of Sundays ago, I mentioned Lee Sherabu, a Nigerian girl. She's 15 years old, and she was kidnapped by Boko Haram along with 110 other schoolgirls in February 2018. Just so you know, that's the second group of girls that was kidnapped. I'm not talking about the first one. This is the second one in February 2018. And she's the only one that has not been released. And why? Because she would not renounce Jesus and accept the false religion of Islam. Christians going through deep testing and not yielding to sin. We would do well to watch out for what is temptation in the midst of tests and trials. Be vigilant. Be alert in trials. They're happening all the time. All the time. Be alert in those trials. Watch the company you keep, the situations you get into, the influences that you are exposed to, avoiding those that are temptations to sin. The devil is subtle, and he's there. Be in God's word. Submit to God's word. And in this way, you are resisting the devil. You will always be going through trials and testings, because God is refining you, so praise God. But the evil one brings temptations all the time. And always be always in God's word. Be on guard. Pray for God's rescue. And watch out for those temptations. Pray that the power of the Lord keeps you from wiping out. And something we always, always must remember is the Lord's forgiveness. Every single one of us has and is falling for the devil's temptations. Through the world, through our flesh, all of us. We all commit sin daily in our actions, in our inaction, in our thoughts. And a critical part of our relationship with our Heavenly Father is that corrective that we talked about last week or the week before, where we come to the Lord and confess our sins and turn back to the Lord and turning away from sin. When we genuinely say, Father, forgive us our sins, we know that we have forgiveness because of Christ's finished work on the cross. And because we love the Lord, we come back to Him over and over again. Forgive us, Lord. And we know we have forgiveness. The gospel is a message of fresh starts and new beginnings. There is no need to beat yourself up, to dwell on the sin that you committed. It's forgiven with the finished work of Christ. That's what we know, and that's what we do because we have put our faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our forgiveness. If you have not done this, perhaps today is the day of salvation for you. Confess your sins to the Lord. Repent and turn from your sin. Turn to the Lord and put your faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for all your sin with all your life. And receive forgiveness, receive salvation, new life in Christ as God's adopted child. Do it. Do it. And begin really living for and with the only holy God, learning how to love and worship Him while living in this sin-loving world, yet knowing that your eternity is secure because of Jesus' blood and what He has done. Repent and turn to Jesus. Let me read verse 13 one more time. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray together. Father, you know that we